enjoy this.
It's so important, people of God.
Man, God has been so kind. Man, God has been so kind to my wife and I. Healthy children, beautiful church. Man, I'm just amazed.
In humble adoration, bow before your throne, opening our hearts, surrendering our wills, calling unto you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We stand in awe of you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Before I start this broadcast, I just want to take a moment to stand in awe of him in silence and just meditate on who God is for a moment, who he is to me, what he's been for me, what he's done for me. I want you to do the same. Just take a few minutes and just quietly think about who he is, what he's done, the revelation of himself unto you, his ability. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Remember where you were for a minute. Not where you're trying to get to or where you're not yet, but remember where you were and where he brought you from. Now imagine what he's able to do for you. Just think about that for a minute. It's nothing like having a relationship with the Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you for the precious blood of your son being willing to die for wretched sinners like myself, as I was, Lord, to bring me to a place, Lord God, and to continue to work on me, to bring me further to the future you have for me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wherever you are right now and you're hearing the sound of my voice, just lift your hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. If you're a believer today, say, thank you, Jesus. Not because of the petition you've laid before him and what you expect. Not yet. Not even dealing with that yet. Just because he is God. There was nothing about you, me, any of us, from the least to the greatest, the most holiest to the most sinfulest. None of us was holy enough to turn the heart of God and say, hey, come die for me. None of us. He did it out of his own kindness. And for that, we're grateful. Hallelujah, Lord. Just lift your hands and say, Jesus, I thank you. I praise you. And yes, I'm yours now, forevermore. Mean it. Mean it. Mean yes. Yes is a position of the heart more than it is a word of the mouth. Hallelujah. He's always looking at our hearts, people. He's always looking at our hearts, not our activity, not our ministry, not our words, not our doings and our dealings as much as our heart. Everything we do, say, think, believe, feel, it springs forth from our heart. Is there any ready hearts out there today to say a genuine yes to God? Maybe you've already told him yes. I understand that. But maybe he's requiring another yes. There's a song out called Yes. And whoever the moderator is on tonight, if you can pull that song up for the end of this broadcast, at the end of the broadcast, I'd like that song to be played. The song Yes by Shekinah Glory. But in that song, the question is asked in a prophetic form as though God is speaking from heaven to earth and says, there is more that I am requiring of you. Will your heart and your mind and your soul agree and say yes? Understand Jesus, he showed up here on earth. That was his first yes. I'll be a human being. I'll be one of them. But then he had to give God another yes when it was time to die. And he wrestled with his flesh to bring it into subjection to say yes to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he sweats big drops of blood and tears to give God the yes that he really wanted. Now, if Jesus had a struggle with his flesh, why should we pretend like we don't? None of us have arrived, but we all are striving to enter that narrow path, to enter that straight gate, that right way, that righteous, holy way that God requires. God requires it from all of us, from the preacher to the lay member, to the deacon, to the business owner, to whoever you are, whatever you used to be. There's a holy way that God requires of you. For the word of God says, be ye holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy. Jesus said in order that what we must pray is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So everything he's comparing on earth is being compared to heaven. We lack. We lack here on earth what heaven has. So we must continue to reach for something greater than ourselves. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you already have set the atmosphere. You've already revealed your glory. You've already spoke, Lord God, to our hearts, Lord God. You've already conditioned us to believe. You've already done what you're going to do. But, Father, we enter into this moment of full awareness and assurance that you are with us, because you said where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. And I know there's more than two or three listening on today. Family, God bless you for listening. God bless you for listening. God bless you. And God's going to bless you. Hallelujah. But you said, Lord, where there's two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. That's a promise. That's not something we beg for. Lord, show us your glory. Show us you're among us. We believe it, regardless of what we see, hear, feel, or experience. And Father, since we believe it, we know that you will manifest what you want in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, speak through me on today. Let not flesh glory in your sight. Let none of my words go forth, but what you desire for the hearers to hear on today, I yield before you, Lord God, and ask you to have your way. Anything I've studied, anything I've known, anything you've shown me, if you're ready to change it at this moment, I want to flow with you. You are right now, God. You are eternal, God, but we can know you in our now. That's a kairos moment where we take eternity and pull it into our now. Hallelujah. That's the will of heaven on earth. That's the will of heaven on earth. That's being holy as he who is in heaven is holy, set apart. So set me apart and use these lips of clay and utter life through this vessel to those who will have ears to hear, to the sheep of God. And those who are far off and who are not near, you can draw them even now, Father, even as they're hearing. Many are hurting, Lord God. I just pray right now, Lord God, for those who are struggling. Someone's mother is going through something right now and in need. And I just pray, Father God, that you would help that woman, God. Show forth what you are able to do. Work a mighty miracle. And at the end, they would say, Jesus did this thing. Hallelujah, Lord God. I pray against the tactics of the enemy, the fowl of the air. We bind and rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we say, have your way. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, family, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening and being attentive to those listening by way of the Now Radio For You mobile app. If you don't have that app, I would suggest getting it downloaded. It's free. Now Radio, the number 4, and you, the word you, Y-O-U, you can download that at the Google Play or the Apple App Store, iTunes, however you want to say it. You can download that onto your device and listen to these messages every week, or you can call in however you get on here. Well, this is Minister Sir Ryan Davis. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast here on the Now Network. And I do have my brother on here who's going to help me out today. He's going to be my reader. Hallelujah. But I feel the Holy Spirit moving this in a different direction. Hallelujah. So he's still going to be my reader wherever the Holy Spirit leads as far as the scriptures. So we've been on this thing, and I know that this is going to be a wow. This is what the Lord has commissioned. This is what he spoke. I'm sure there's others on the line that have heard God on this as well that agree that he's speaking to us about the renewing of the mind. So we're going to start out with where I left off last week. I believe I left off last week with Romans chapter 12. Before I get there, I want to say something. Last week's message, I know that for some that message may not have been for you, but for some of us, that's exactly where we are, and that message found us where we are about the spiritual warfare. I'm not one that looks for trouble. I'm going to say that real quick, but I understand that trouble knows everybody's address. And at some point or another in our lives, we're going to get that knock on the door, and it's going to be trouble standing there. It's going to be trials, tribulation, and affliction, not because I said so or I want to, but because the word of God says so. That's just the way it is in this world that we live in. It's not because you're of the world, it's in the world. So being in this world, tribulation is a part of it. But the encouragement is this. God said in Psalms chapter 46, somewhere in there in that chapter, he says that I am a very present help in the time of trouble. It's something about trouble that make you reach for God when nothing else will. It's something about trouble. You know, we a lot of times when everything's going the way we want it, we may send up a few praises, you know, thank you, Jesus, and all that, but we really get serious with God when things is going awry. We really get to peeling off the layers of self to find out what is God really trying to reveal to me that he allowed this to happen. And sometimes the only thing he wants to reveal to you is I'm there with you. Or he wants to reveal to you I'm inside of you and you got strength. Because when I'm weak, then am I strong. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, he says, I would rather in mine infirmities, in other words, my weaknesses, my troubles, I'll boast in that rather than boasting what you know, I got this, I've accomplished that, I'm connected here, I seen that, I made this, I spent that, I had that one and this one. No, I did. He said, look, apostles, they brag differently. He says, I will brag or boast in mine infirmities because when I am weak, then am I strong because God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Somebody need to hear that. You ain't as weak as you think you are. Hallelujah. But you may be in a battle. Hallelujah. But you already have victory. Just keep the faith. Now, we're talking about the renewing of the mind. This weekend was the weekend of Veterans Day. Veterans Day, meaning there are veterans who have fought for certain rights for the civilian people, the majority of the people in America. There's about 350 million Americans in this country, population-wise. You know, that number, give or take, with the illegal immigrants or whatever. But there's about 350-some-odd million people in this country. And only about, I believe, 5 million people, you know, in the military. We don't have that many people that are doing the work of the military. But those people deserve honor because they fight enemies that we never face, that we may enjoy certain freedoms. Well, in the realm of spirit, there are people who are warriors that fight and that battle in the spirit. They're called intercessors. There are people that deal with things that you may not deal with or never had dealt with or not dealt with yet. I believe that at some point we all have our battles, and this is what some people are going through, and some people have a lot of questions. But the Bible warns us, he says, to be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that means you have an enemy that you don't see, but he's there. And the Bible says he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we got to, as my grandmother often says, Evangelist Virginia Valentine, she says, I am devour-proof, and I have to let the devil know I'm devour-proof. So we've got to recognize that you are devour-proof. He's seeking whom he may devour. That means you got to give him permission to devour you. God can give him permission to get to start in on you, but then you got to give him permission to finish you off. So that means at some point you got to, and right after it says that, let me pull that up. It says we got to resist him. It says we have to resist him. My brother, if you're on the line, Larigas Davis, can you go ahead and read that? 1 Peter 5 and 9. 5 and 8.
Yes, sir.
Are you on the line, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm there.
First Peter 5 and 8. Read that out loud. For
it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Read the next part.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
All right. So that word sober We all done seen somebody who was not sober. They was drunk. They was staggering. They walk. They stumble. They don't know where they're going. They talk a little crazy. You know, they get that, where I'm from down in the South, we say you get that oil in you and you start talking crazy, or you get high on the wine. So people who are not sober, they start talking a little foolish. They start walking a little sketchy. They start acting out of character because they're not sober. Well, what causes us to be unsober in God? Go to pull up Luke chapter 12, I believe it's verse 36. See if that's in the right spot here. Luke chapter 12, verse 36. Don't read it just yet, but it should be something in there talking about drunkenness, if my memory serves me correct. Now, that word vigilant means careful, careful, keeping a close watch. A close watch. Pull up Luke 12 and 36 for me and read that out loud in our hearing. I'm going to stay calm today. Go ahead.
And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord.
I'm sorry. Go. No. That's not the right place. Let me find that. So I'm going to come back to that. I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. But it says, take heed. It says, take heed that you be not overcharged in your mind. If you'll find that one for me, and we'll go ahead on. But that word vigilant means careful, to watch your steps. Understand, in the jungle, there are wild animals in the jungle that seek to devour. So the Bible is telling us in this world there's an enemy. We're not glorifying the devil. This is not what this message is about, but this is to help. See, we got to unlearn some things. If we're going to be renewed in our mind, then we've got to take off the old. God says that new wine goes in new wineskins. The reason some people can't receive the word of truth is because they have not unlearned what they've been taught or what they've believed all their life. These scriptures are able to make you wise. Okay, these scriptures, the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. That's what Paul told his protege Timothy. And let me tell you something. All of us will live and die, and this Bible will still be sitting here right. So it behooves us to take heed to what's written in it and how the Holy Spirit begins to orchestrate teaching that comes from the truth of this word that he illuminates. It's not the truth of the word that we understand. That's the first problem. Our minds are not right. That's why he says renew it. Everything about us is wrong. You know something I found out? Everything about the kingdom of God is opposite. You want to be successful in the kingdom of God, you got to think opposite. You really do. You got to think opposite. You know, because first thing in human nature, somebody hits you in your face, you want to hit them back. That's human nature. But Jesus said to turn the other cheek. That's a hard one for some of us. That's a hard one for some of us. But then he says, you want to get, give. Everything Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, sometimes we have to go all the way back to the basics. Everything he taught in the Beatitudes was totally opposite of what we want to do. Think about that for a minute. So everything about the kingdom, if we're going to have success, then it has to come from doing things the opposite of what we think. Now, I actually had you in the right place, but it was one chapter wrong. So it's Luke 11, and no, that's not right either. Let me. Well, I'm having a little trouble finding it. I'm gonna move on past that. We're gonna move on past that. So Jesus said, I know what he says, but I'm not having success finding the spot. But he says, take heed that you be not overcharged in your mind and with drunkenness, that the day of the Lord will catch you unaware. So drunkenness comes with the cares of this world, and it can overcharge your mind. This is where some people are at in their mind. They got too much care for the things of this world. It's Luke 21 and, It's Luke 21. I said 12, but it's 21. If you'll go to verse 34 on that and read that, I do apologize for misrepresenting where that was at. But if you open up that scripture and read that, Luke chapter 21, verse number 34, read it out loud for us, sir.
And take heed to yourself, lest at any time
take
your
heed.
Hearts be
over. Slow down. Take heed. So to be vigilant, meaning careful, you can dictionary that, means to pay close attention, okay? Now here's Jesus. This is red letter. Read what Jesus said. He says, take heed.
And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares.
Okay, that word, keep reading the next verse. I want you to read the next verse.
For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth.
Okay, so he said that day, what day is he talking about? I know what day he's talking about, but in context, he's speaking of a particular day, but I'm not going to deal with that right now because that's a whole nother message. That's some end time stuff. But this thing we need to understand about the scriptures is there are multiple layers of revelation that God will give through the scriptures. And one thing, one interpretation or revelation behind that day is also can relate to the day of trouble. I told you, we all going to get that at some point in our life. Not because I'm wishing it on you, or I'm speaking it on you, not trying to curse the people of God. I want you to be blessed. But to be blessed means you got to understand what world we live in, the dynamics of this world, because this world living here requires a new mind. Now watch what Jesus said. He said, and take heed. Take heed means the same thing as be vigilant. So Peter and Jesus are preaching the same message. He says, take heed, which means pay close attention to details, to yourselves. He didn't say to everybody else right here, to yourselves. That means you got to now make sure you're not opening a door to become that one that the devil may devour. Take heed to yourself. Look, the deer or the gazelle or the impala, the different animals in the jungle out in the wild, when they know there's a lion out roaring out there, you know, they're going to pay attention to where they go. They're not just going to place themselves right in the lion's mouth. They're not going to do that. They understand, I got to put some distance between me and him. I got to run. I got to stay close to the rest of the flock. I got to do whatever I got to do. I got to jump. I got to, you know, stay out of the lion's den. Watch this. He says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. What does that word surfeiting mean? It's another word for drunkenness, basically. It means you got too much on your mind, so you're intoxicated with your own thoughts. This is what surfeiting really is talking about, drunkenness and the cares of this life. So Jesus is basically telling us there's something more important than this life, this world, because in this life, you're going to have tribulation. Yeah, there are good times, there are blessings, there are prosperity and promotion and healing and miracles and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's still all vanity, because guess what? At best, we're going to live 120 years, at best. And the Word of God says, every man at his best is but vanity. So there's something much more greater at stake. That's eternal life. And he's telling the believers to pay attention, that they don't be the ones that are going to be overtaken. Watch this. He says, the cares of this life, and he said, through drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unaware. He's talking about the return of the Lord, the rapture. He's saying he don't want that to catch any of us unaware because we're drunken. We're staggering in our walk. We're slurred in our speech. We're talking crazy. We're not saying what he's saying. We're caught up in the world. Oh, I can get this. I can do that. Oh, I can connect over here. Oh, I can have them. Oh, I like this and that. I want to taste this. I want to feel that. I want a little bit more of this, that, whatever it is. He's saying, hey, don't be overcharged with that stuff. That day will come upon you unaware. See, the lion is a predator, but he's stealth. He creeps. He stalks his prey. He watches. Then next thing you know, he pounces on him, comes on him unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Nobody's exempt from that day. That day, he says, it's going to be like a snare. Now, I studied this. A snare is a device. You step in it, and it grabs you by your foot and hangs you upside down, upside down. The Bible says that God made man to walk upright, but yet man has sought out many inventions, devices, same type of work. So what that means is mankind falls into agreement with the devil sometimes. We shouldn't, but it happens. This is why we've got to have a renewed mind through the Word of God, the Word of God. Nothing else can do it but the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I don't care how great your grandma was. Her wisdom is appreciated. I don't care how much you, how many books you read. If it ain't the Word of God, their wisdom is appreciated and God can use it. But there's nothing that can renew your mind. You can fill your mind with a whole lot of stuff. You got to renew your mind through the Word of God. Your friends, your peers, whoever you watching on YouTube or whatever it is, that stuff is information. It's knowledge. It can help you in certain situations, and God can use things to put the pieces of the puzzle together for you in your mind. But the only thing that's going to renew your mind is the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. We have to stay in a place of commitment to receiving the washing through the Word that renews the mind. The mind has to be made new. It does, because the old mind is corruption, and it's an enemy of God. Look at all the stuff you did before you got saved, all the mess I did. So don't nobody get offended and say he's preaching that up. No, I did a whole lot of stuff that I don't even, I can't believe I did. Okay, one day I'll give my testimony, but today it's not time for that, because some people think, you know, I don't talk about where I come from, what I did and all that. And people may think, well, you know, who are you? You know, but at the end of the day, it's the Word that's going to change us. It's the Word that's going to help us escape this snare. Now, the snare hangs you upside down, but it takes your head and makes it face the ground. Are y'all catching this? But our minds are supposed to be thinking where? He says we're supposed to be thinking in heavenly terms, things above. So if our head is facing the ground, that's an indication that we are in the snare and our minds are earthly minded now. We're overcharged. We're drunk, not sober. Jesus. Okay, so that's not a place we want to find ourselves. Yeah, God going to bless you. God is in the blessing business. We all need a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All we have to do is ask. Jesus says, seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened, right? So the blessings aren't that hard to achieve. The blessing of God is not about earthly things, though. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. The Christian life, I say everything about God is opposite. When the apostles in the book of Acts, they preached the gospel, the people accused them of turning the world upside down. What they was really doing was taking people out of the snare, because they was upside down. So they was turning them right side up. But they said, who are these men that turned the world upside down? They were doing the will of God and taking people out of the snare, setting people's minds where it should have been to begin with. Hallelujah. Watch this. I speak from experience. The Lord literally took me out of a snare that I didn't even know I was in. I didn't know I was in the snare. I had a vision out of my body and everything, and the Lord picked me up and set my foot on the solid ground and let me know, now you can walk upright. I said, Jesus. So the condition of our souls can be in a snare and we don't even know it. That's what this is really breaking down to say. The snare is the device of the enemy. The Bible says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, but many times we are. We shouldn't be. That when Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices, he was basically admonishing the people. Now, come on, you know better. We know better than that, don't we? That's how that is to be taken. It doesn't mean we really paying attention, because if we were, Jesus wouldn't say, take heed. So we have to take heed and make sure we're not snare material. Hallelujah. How do we do that? Through a renewed mind. So I want you to read Joshua 1 and 8 for me, please, men of God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Hallelujah. So we have to have a renewed mind. Before you do that, I'm going to read another verse that was laid on my heart while you're looking for that, Joshua 1 and 8. I'm going to read Jeremiah 1 and 10. I want you to understand something. What God told Jeremiah the prophet. This is Old Testament, but everything in the Old Testament has revelation for the New Testament saints. We don't throw the Old Testament out. We can't get rid of the Old Testament, because if we do, then that means we're throwing away all the prophecies about our Messiah, which means we don't have a leg to stand on. So we have to rightly divide the old. Now, he says, see, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. That don't sound too encouraging, do it? He got to throw down, pull down, destroy, and uproot and do all this stuff. He's got to do all of that. And then he says to build and to plant. Well, it's just like if you're going to plant something, what do you do first? You dig. You remove dirt. You got to remove what's there, the rocks and the weeds and the thorns and the stones, all that stuff that's in there and on the surface got to be, the ground has got to be made ready for you to plant. Well, what has to happen is the old has to come down, be thrown down, tore down, destroyed first. That we cannot, new wine goes in new wineskins. We cannot receive what God really wants to say, because there's things God wants to prepare our minds and our have a mindset for as an end time people. Even though we're in a time where God is extending mercy and grace and we're seeing prosperity, believe me, the scriptures are still being fulfilled. The end time scenario is still going to play out. We don't have to obsess over those things. We have work to do in the meantime, but we have to recognize that these things are, and so that we're not caught unaware. All right, read that scripture for me, bro, if you can pull it up.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Hallelujah. Then. So God gives a command, the word. Now, at that time they were under the law. We're not under the law, not trying to go back under the law. God knows I wouldn't want to be under the law. But the truth in that still remains, the word of God. The law was the word of God. So we can apply that word there to our lives today and say we must meditate on the word of God. When did he say? When did he say we must meditate on it? I was talking to you, bro.
Day and night. I'm sorry. Day and night.
Day and night. We meditate on it when?
Day and night.
Day and night. Amen. All right. So that means that's a continued thing that should stay on your mind. That word meditate actually means mutter. Mutter. How do you mutter? You actually talk it to yourself. You ever had something on your mind so much that you was talking to yourself? You wake up and you talking in your sleep about it. You know, whatever's on your mind, the most what's prevalent in your mouth is what's going to be prevalent in your mind. What you say the most is what you're going to think the most. So it's a connection between the mind and the mouth. You might not even be there yet, but you can talk yourself. Oh, watch this. Back in the days when I was in the world, you could not even really be in a situation where you wanted to fight this dude, but you talk yourself into it. I can't believe that you know what said that to me. I can't believe. Next thing you know, you're mad and you hype yourself up. Well, you can talk yourself into anything. With the word of God, we can talk ourselves into being what God has told us, because now we are not conforming to the world, but we're conforming to God, which transforms us. To conform means to submit to the authority of a spirit. That's what conformity really means in the spiritual sense. When we submit to God, then we are now saying, Lord, you are the potter, I'm the clay, have your way, mold me, shape me, break me if you gotta, because I trust you and I'm in your hands, I ain't nothing. Whatever you want me to be, that's what I gotta be. Not the old life I want, not my dreams, my visions, although God cares about what we desire and some dreams and visions he put in our hearts. But we have to be willing to say, God, I give you everything. And nobody's going to be there to see that moment when you say that. But this in this kingdom, I said everything is opposite. Everything is upside down compared to the way the world do it. The world says pursue. God may say be still. The world say, you know, you need to give up. God may say now it's time to go forth. So everything about the kingdom of God is opposite on so many levels. It's not what you can obtain from the kingdom, but what you give up, what you're willing to give up for the kingdom, that determines who you really are in the eyes of the Lord. Now, he told them, don't let this word depart out of your mouth. You should be talking it all the time. So folks that say you're too holy, you're too spiritual, you talk the Bible too much, you're always talking about God, them folks is carnal. They don't even understand yet. They may get it later. But this is how you... This is God's success plan. Now, that leads me to my next point. He says, then shall you make your way prosperous. When you meditate, but not only meditate, but observe that you may do. So that means my meditation should lead me to a lifestyle of obedience. Are we going to miss the mark sometimes? Absolutely. Do we plan to miss the mark? Well, no. But will it happen? It will. We're going to miss the mark because we're human. But our goal that we're aiming to is to please Christ. It's just like playing a game of basketball. I'm not just going to get out there and miss every shot on purpose. My aim is at the goal, and if I keep practicing, I'm going to hit more shots. Well, if I practice righteousness, then I'm going to do more righteousness, and God is going to judge me based on what I do, based on my heart, because I can say my heart is in it all day, but if I'm not trying, then I'm lying. Whew, glory, watch this. And God knows when we lie. So righteousness is needed. So we're still talking about renewing of the mind. So when we do all that is written, all that he shows you, it's not all that Moses said. We're not under that no more. But once the Lord starts taking you in his word and he shows you what he requires of thee, old man, then you got to say yes to God. Am I preaching to anybody other than myself? Maybe it's just for me. Once God illuminates you, then God requires. He said, whom much is given, much is required. So God requires a yes. And at the end of the day, we all got to get there if we're going, because we all got the same goal. Listen, when you play a ball game, that goal ain't moving around and saying, okay, I'm over here on the left so you can hit it. I'm over here on the right so you can hit it. No, we all aiming at the same goal. And our shot percentages is based on us. All right, so we have to really aim to please Christ. Yeah, we're going to miss some shots. But that don't mean we got to lose the game, right? Hallelujah. We on the winning team. Now, he says, meditate on the word that you may observe to do. That means pay attention that you are doing what God wants you doing with your life. And then he says, then shall you make your way prosperous. Then shall you have good success. I need to throw this in here. Good success. Read that verse again. I want you to read that so people don't think I'm just saying this. Read it out loud. That verse with good success.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Good success. Okay, so there's good success in the Bible, but there's success in the world, but it's not good success. That means God has to define the parameters of what good success is, because there is, believe it or not, there is evil success. The Bible speaks of it in in Psalms chapter 37. It speaks of the wicked who prosper in their way, in their way. Now, if they're wicked, then their ways are wicked. So, but yet he says they're prosperous. He says, I saw the wicked spreading himself like a green bay tree, and he prospered and flourished. But soon they shall be cut off like the grass. So there is a success that does not come from God. And I believe last week the Lord led me to speak on the enemy, you know, coming to make you an offer and all these different things in the wilderness when he tempted Jesus and all those different things, and how we have to have a renewed mind to fight against that, to resist that devil, that roaring lion. Now watch this. What did Jesus use? He used "it is written." He's our example, right? We Christians, mean Christ-like. He's the one we're trying to be like. So he used the "it is written." Then that means we got to use the "it is written." I'm not saying be a browbeater, Bible thumper, and all that, but we got to know this stuff. It's for our success, good success. See, God has a plan for your life. Satan does too. Go to Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 15. Let me find that real quick. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse 15. If it's not 30, then it's 31. Yeah, chapter 30, verse 15. Read that out loud. Read it very loud and clear.
See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil.
Okay. All right, watch this. God is the one speaking here, right? He says, I put before you good and evil, life and death. Some would say, that don't sound like God. Why would God do that? Well, if you don't study the word, you would say that don't sound like God. If you value man's opinion, if you value the worldview of people, then, yeah, that don't sound like God, because there's people's ideal of God, which is an idol God, and then there's the revelation of God, which is God saying, I'm telling you exactly who I am. Get to know me. Hallelujah. So he says here, the Lord says, I set before thee this day life, good, and evil. This is the same God that put two trees in the garden and told man, don't touch one of them. And he went ahead and touched it. That was the tree that he said, you eat it, you die. So we can call that death. And all the tree right next to it was the tree of life. And man chose death. Because there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we have to really take serious the renewing of our mind if we don't want death at the end. It's not about what's comfortable now, what feels good now, what looks good now, what we can put Jesus' name on it now. What is he saying about our later? Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, I set before you. So God puts two paths before you. In other words, he lets that plan the devil has for our lives set right there at the intersection. You choose one of those plans. This is why, let me explain this to somebody. This is why the horoscopes and the psychics can tell you stuff and it come to pass. Not because they connect it to God, but they understand what's on that other road. So if everything the psychic says is happening in your life, and you ain't got no business listening to them no way, but if everything they say is happening in your life, then you for surely you are on the wrong path. And what needs to happen now is it's time to repent. That's one of the favorite words on the Now Network. Repent means to turn all the way around and then turn and get on the other path. Because God says, I put both of these before you. Now, he's merciful. He's good. He don't leave us to ourselves to where he don't give us a way out. That's the beauty of it. He always gives us a way out. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, I put two paths before you. This is God's way. He's always going to let you choose. He's always going to let you choose. But a renewed mind will always choose life. We have to have our minds renewed. That means daily we're taking in God's word. We're in prayer. We're striving towards obedience with all of our strength, to love the Lord with all your strength. See, what's going to happen is some people will be tested in their dry season. And then some people's loyalty will be tested in their warfare. This is what it's really all about. Your loyalty will be tested in warfare or in dry season or in other people's dry season. Some people will be revealed through what you go through. Somebody need to catch that. Some people will be revealed by what you go through. Elijah's brook dried up, but God had another place of provision for him. Hallelujah. Watch this. God says, I set before you this day, life and good, death and evil. God wasn't trying to destroy anybody by setting evil there, no more than he was trying to destroy Adam. He gave him a commandment. Don't do it. But he chose to do it. Now we've got to understand that we got a little bit of Adam and Eve in all of us, and we got to renew our minds to this new person that we should be following, who is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. We've got to now live like he lived, and everything he did was opposite of the world, but it was in submission to the will of the Father God. It was conformity to the Spirit of God. He says, I don't do nothing I don't see my Father do. Can you imagine that? That means we got to have a greater revelation of who the Father is in order to really get to that place. I know some people say, well, the Word of God is simple and you're just complicating it. Listen, there's 66 books, thousands of pages, all these different stuff God gave us sitting wherever your Bible is sitting. It's not that anybody's trying to complicate it, but we can't simplify what's complex. You got to understand the mind of God wrote this book for us. So he's going to break it down to us so that we can chew on it, so that we can, grow. For some of us, he's going to give it to us in the form of milk. This is why the teachings are being more basic lately and more about the foundational things, because he wants us to grow into the knowledge of who he really is. Nobody is trying to complicate the Word of God, or at least not here, but breaking down the complexities of the Word of God. Listen, you can't be a doctor just because you say, I'm a doctor, and you go to school for 1 year. You got to go to school almost 10 years to be a doctor. And then you got to practice under somebody and learn that stuff. You telling me you can read the Bible once and know everything there is to know about God? No, we're constantly going to be receiving more and more revelation because he's eternal. He's eternal. So we have to constantly be open to receive renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I'm going to end this message here. I didn't get to touch 99% of what the Lord had given me, but I believe I said what he wanted to be said on today, because this was not nowhere near the notes or the message that I had planned. I really want to deal with the makeup of the human person. I keep saying that each week, but I can't get to it yet because there's other things the Lord wants to be said. I want to pray for you all that are on the line. There were some prayer needs made known to me earlier before this call. And I know you're on this line. Know that we're already praying for you. Know that God has already made a way for your healing. And what has to happen is you've got to believe. You've got to believe that God is able. God is willing. God wants to heal you. This is not your end, and then you're not going to die. We rebuke death on your behalf, and we speak life, and we cancel every word of death that will come to in agreement with death or make any covenant with death, any word of doubt and disbelief, we cancel it, and we speak life in agreement, and you have to grab hold to it and believe that God is your healer. Hallelujah. God is your healer. So we are praying for you all that are on this line. God loves each and every one of you. There is restoration. That's the word for somebody today, restoration. There is restoration. Hallelujah. God restores the mind. He restores health. He restores finances. Hallelujah. He restores your relationship with him. Some people's relationship with God, if we be honest, has dried, or is in a place, a dry place. It's not where it should be, where it used to be. We're not hearing like we used to hear. But God, I pray you would just restore and make us sure that we are following the right spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray your choice blessings upon each one. I believe my brother had something that God placed on his heart to say. I'm going to back up. If you have something to say, or if you just want to pray us out, let God use you. God bless you, man of God.
I don't guess I have anything to say. You actually hit everything that was placed in my heart today. You said it truthfully. I didn't know if you were still sharing on renewing of the mind, but there was one thing that was brought to my attention, and I think you and I, we've had this conversation, you know, to an extent before, but what was brought to my mind today is how we were bought up in the world and trained to start thinking, you know, what we know is the school system. You know, we were taught, if we look at something or we read something, we were taught to process it through our brain. Mm-hmm. And our brain would take this particular thing that we looked at or whatever, and it would break it down, and we would learn to comprehend it. And you being my younger brother, you know, I never had a problem with that. You know, I never had a problem with comprehension. I actually thought I was always told I was good at comprehending things, but I didn't know how to apply it into life. Now, with all that being said, that was the way, and it was actually became, and I love the way you shared the word about the word snare. That was actually my snare, the fact that I could comprehend when I tried to get into the Word of God. I couldn't comprehend the Word of God until I got to a place where I had to humble myself to God and say, God, I don't understand this word. I don't understand what this meant. And the reason why this was brought to my attention, because I went to a Bible store and I wanted to find a King James version of the Bible. And I did not know there were so many versions of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And actually, the King James was in this very small corner of this store. Like, it was hard to find. And I was like, my gosh, it was the smallest, you know, it was the smallest corner in the store. I mean, it was like very few selection of the King James version of the Bible. And I was like, well, that's the only one I wanted. But something dawned on me. And I seen there was whatever tickled your fancy. I mean, it was like Baskin Robbins, the 31 flavors, however you wanted the Bible, they were selling it. And I was like, what is this? I did not know this, God. And it was given to me. Says the reason why is because So many people say, I ask them, I say, do you read your word? Do you study your word? Do you know the word? And they say, well, I study in this version. And I remember when I first got into it, I had the NIV and I had the King James and I had another, I can't even remember what the third, but I would reference it to all three of them. But all three of them, when I got to it, they were really actually saying three different things to me. And I was like, man, this is where I got to the point where I said, God, I don't understand. I need you to show me. Of course, I had to do away with all the others and keep the King James, even to this day, sometimes I read it and I say, well, I don't understand what that means. And actually, it's any time I read it, I have to say, God, I don't understand it. Me and a brother was having a conversation the other day, and he was talking about how much he loves to read his word. And I was like, well, that's so crazy, because sometimes I hate it. Because at one instance, when I get to reading it, and I think I know something, every time I open it, I find out I didn't even know nothing. And I read that scripture I don't know how many times. So every time I read it, I find out I really don't know nothing at all. And this is how, amen, what we're talking about, the renewing of the mind. And so and I love that, even though I say I hate it, and I don't mean I literally hate it, but I hate the fact that I think I know something, you know, and then God has to get me back to the place and say, well, we got to start over. That's why we have to go back to the basics. You know, like he was talking about now. That's why we have to get back to the basics, because pride has a way of showing us that we know something when God says, really, you don't know nothing. And so we have to start all over. So in the beginning, do you understand? In the beginning, Lord, God created the heavens and the earth. And we say, yeah, I understand, God, you created. No, you don't understand, Larissa. Let's start over again. In the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth. Yes, Lord. When we have to start it all over every time and start from the foundation and make sure that it is rooted and grounded on Jesus Christ. But anyway, what I was getting to, that's the good point is, it's like the movie Matrix. I don't know how many on the line have watched this movie, The Matrix. God is calling this, for the simple fact that even those of us that took time to dial in, God is calling us out of what we see or think of as being ordinary. You know, this way we've been trained to think. And I'm going to tell you without a shadow of a doubt that it was all part of the plan of the world. And remember that God said that friendship with the world is enmity to God. So the way the world,
right.
because it ain't just America that has this type of a way of thinking, it's actually the world system. You know, anywhere you go,
right.
most of the world is being taught to think like this. You look at something, you break it down, you comprehend it, and you understand it. So if you don't understand it, then there's no way you deal with it. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, that's aimed at the Word of God, because most people look at the Word of God and say, I don't understand it, I can't comprehend it, because we've been trained to think this certain way. This is why God is really on this renewing of the mind, because this school system or this world system will say, and this is the only way we're going to combat this, is by taking ourselves out of this way of thinking and saying, God, and I think you said it, you said we have to get to a place where we understand that our weakness is where God's strength is. That's where he's made strong. And our weakness, where we come to that place and say, God, I don't understand this scripture. Now, please give it, reveal it to me. And that's every time we open this book. You know, even though we think we know something, we'll find out we really didn't know nothing. Because every time every time I see that same scripture, God gives me more and more and more, just building on one scripture. And I'll be like, man, this book is way too powerful for me to even think that I could understand it. So anyway, for us to combat the fact that, like you said, we have an enemy who's walking about like a roaring lion, we got to continuously stay in a place of humility. And that's what Jesus was always trying to teach them. Stay humble and understand you don't know nothing. If any man, he said, let a man that think he knows something be take heed lest he fall. You know, so we've got to be careful, because once we think we know something, we'll fall. And stay with this place where we say, God, I don't know nothing. You know what I mean? But we got to stay in the Word. And the Word was, trust in the Lord with all your might, and lean not to your own understanding, because once we start comprehending something, we think we understand it. And once we understand something, then there's no need for God. So this is why we have so many versions of the Bible. People say, well, I can understand the NIV. Well, I can understand the ESV. I can understand, you know, whatever version they have, but they say, I can't understand the King James. And that's where I have to be. I have to stay here because I don't understand it. If I get into the NIV, I can comprehend it. If I can comprehend it, then I can understand it. And there's no need for me to deal with the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't have to ask him to teach me or reveal it to me because I already understand it.
Come on.
We got to stay at a place where we're constantly asking God to help us understand it, to constantly ask God to reveal it to us and come out of this mindset of understanding. Because the Lord himself, even these scriptures you just had me read in Joshua, he told him, he said, man, don't even lean to your own understanding. You know, I told you to fret not, be not afraid, but also don't trust in your own self. Trust in the Lord. Or even the Psalms that you was reading. He said, hey, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. So this is where we got to get back, because even when we're dealing with Adam and Eve, this is where it came from. You know, they didn't trust in the Lord, but they leaned to Eve and Adam as well. I won't blame it on Eve, but they both leaned to their own understanding. And they didn't trust in the Lord and what he already told them. Hey, eat off this tree, don't eat off this tree. Point blank, period. Now, when they leaned to Satan knew, hey, I'm going to change the way you think. I'm going to ask you one question. Now, what did God say? He said this, but that's not why he said it. He said it because you can be like God. That means you don't need no God and you don't need his understanding. Lean to your own understanding. Next thing you know, she looked at the tree. Now it was desirous to her above all the other trees, the one tree that she wasn't supposed to eat off. So we got to get in the mindset where we're constantly asking God to give us understanding and lean not to our own understanding.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And I know for the sake of time, I don't want to say a whole lot, but I want to add this to what he said. If you are new to studying the Bible, you just gave your heart to the Lord recently, or you don't study the Word a lot. I, as a believer, as one who's been in the Word for about 18 years, I got saved because somebody went around handing out Bibles, and they gave me one, and I started reading that book and asked the Lord, if you who you say you are, show me. And I didn't get saved at a church service. I got saved on my living room floor crying out to Jesus with somebody talking to me over the phone how to talk me through repentance. So this is why I know this type of atmosphere, using the radio and the phone and all this stuff, really God can use it. But anyways, I got saved utilizing the Bible, didn't know none of that stuff, like he said. But I had a King James Bible, and God blessed me. I was blessed. I was fortunate to have a good foundation because I didn't even know about all these other versions of the Bible until I got a little older. But I would recommend any newcomer, or if you're new to studying the Word, start with the King James Version of the Bible and pray, just as the man of God said. Ask the Holy Spirit, because he can bring you to a place of having understanding that he gives. And he will make you to know his word, to be a partaker of the life that's in there. And the reason you can receive multiple revelations and see something new in the same scripture every time is because that word is living. So it's not just understanding the word, it's receiving the word in your spirit, submitting to the Spirit of God that's giving you the word. And those other versions, if you have them, I'm not saying throw them away, burn them, or they're of the devil, or none of that stuff. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you're going to, in time, find there's a reason why most attacks are aimed at the King James Version of the Bible, why there's multiple versions of the Bible. In short, the King James is a literal translation from one language to another. The others are interpretations. So with interpretations, there can be a little fault found in there. It doesn't mean that the fault is in the Word of God. The fault is in the people who decided to publish another version that was not necessarily ordained by God. So I would recommend starting in the book of St. John and from there establish your faith in Jesus. And then start, you know, letting the Holy Spirit lead you where else to read in the book. Well, anyways, thank you all for calling in on today. For those of you who need healing, know that we are standing in the gap praying for you, and not just for those who've made known their needs, but for many of you that may not speak, we're praying for you. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. God loves you all. God bless you all. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have a blessed day. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Just pray you would cause your people to receive your word, your life, your strength.